Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Good evening, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. Welcome to our weekly meditation session. Today is June 8, 2012. How are you? Good? Today we have a night together. Every time when we do meditation, sometimes a question arises in my mind. Why we need to practice? Sometimes people feel boring. They feel unhappy when they need to do something called practice, or they follow the schedule in the temple. For example, if you are a monastic, you have to follow the schedule. What time you wake up, and what time you do chanting, meditation, and etc. And sometimes you just do it, but you have no happiness. You are not happy when you do that. Or even sometimes you are attending the retreat, but actually you just want to come to the retreat to enjoy the conversation with friends, socialize, but no intent to follow the schedule. And that is not worth it. And if something we don't like, it becomes an obstacle. So that's why the laziness needs to be transformed. Otherwise, we cannot go forth on our practice. We have to ask the teachers, are they tired? Yes. The teachers also tired. But why they work non-stop? Because when they do something, when they give a lecture, when they come to class, then they know that their words will benefit for others, students. Nobody wants to choose something hard for them. But because they try hard, and the reason they try, because they want to benefit for others. Is that correct? When a mother or father try to do something, even they really want to rest, but they need to wake up to do something for their children, because they know exactly when they do this, they benefit for their children. They do something for their children, so they're willing to wake up and do it, even they are very tired. The monastics are the same. We devote the life to practice for ourselves and also to share the practice with others. No holidays. And one day I'd attend the ceremony and I met some priest, Catholic priest, and they asked me, Do Buddhist monks have holidays? I said, no. They said, really? Each of us, we have a month for holiday. And they have payment and, you know, lot of benefits. But as a Buddhist monk, we devote their life for the sake of others. Nobody force. This is what something you want to do from the bottom of your heart. And if we don't like to do something, it becomes something that obstacles us, hinders us, affliction. Every day, we need to deal with a lot of afflictions, a lot of difficulties. And sometimes afflictions nobody give to us. It's just because something we see, we hear, it does not applicable with what we expect, then we get angry. For example, I want everybody to sit row to row, and if I see everybody don't sit as what I already set up, and I'm not happy. So unhappy feelings is already bother your mind. So that's why in Vietnamese, we call phiền não. Phiền means bother. Now your mind. Something is bother your mind. It's called phiền não. And sometimes, not something major, something very minor. But in our daily life, we take minor things like that every day. Minute to minute, hours to hours. And it becomes a major affliction. A major phiền não. And they become the obstacle for our practice. Sometimes we don't want to attend the session anymore because there is someone we don't like. We don't want to see that person, we don't want to talk. And if we really want to have to come, we really have to come, then we don't want to sit next to. Something like that. Affliction. So people will ask, where are afflictions come from? Nobody give to us. And we call them. Something we don't like, we talk. We say it right away. Something we don't like, we have to react right away. And that is the reason why it becomes an other obstacle. What we call the deeds done. Something is already done, now it's become the affliction. Now it's become the obstacle. For example, if we don't smoke, we are free from addiction. We don't have to worry to save some money to buy a pack of cigarettes. We don't have to worry, you know, where to smoke. Nothing to worry for if we don't smoke. But once we smoke, it's become the habit. And that habit become something is already done. It obstacles. We are not free anymore. We are not free anymore. Anywhere we go, we have to find a spot where I can smoke. You know, sometimes people attend a retreat, and because they are smoker, so soon as the Dhamma talk done, they have to run out of the temple to find a spot somewhere to have a cigarette. They're not free anymore. I remember there was a lady. When she attended retreat, and one of the rules that no drinking, no smoking. And because the winter, she cannot go out. You know what she did? She went into the ladies' washroom. She stand on the toilet. She smoke, and then she turn on the fan, so the fan can suck the smoke and the smell out. But we still can smell. So something, you are not addicted yet. You are not addicted yet. And we train, and we make ourselves become addicted to something. And soon, we are addicted to something. We are not free anymore. It becomes an obstacle. And then that's only one thing. Many, many things that are very negative in this daily life. For example, drinking coffee or tea is nothing wrong. But if we are addicted to coffee and we don't have a coffee for that day, we don't feel all right. A headache, we yawn all day and very tired. No more freedom. So smoking, something we addicted to it, has become something already done and obstacle us. It's hinder us. So that's why as a practitioner, we try not to addicted to anything. That's why we need to symbol our life. Why? So we can adapt any conditions of life. If we go to somewhere like a camping, and you know when you say you want camping, that's why you have to accept the day in the camp is less convenient than at home. So you have fun, you enjoy some fun at the campsite, like you cooking outside, or you do something very simple. You enjoy the time with nature. Otherwise, rather you stay home if you want everything convenient. 2 years ago, when we have the retreat, a summer retreat. And do you remember the last day of the Jay Buddha project? Thousands of people sleep overnight at the Westlock Center. And there was a lady who fly all the way from Vancouver. And because we already set up the room for her, but that night we can't. So she has to sleep in the tent for one night. So the next day everybody leave, and only retreatant stay back, so we have enough rooms. After a night she slept in the tent, the next day she changed her flight ticket and she fly back to home, because she said, I cannot accept this kind of treatment. What is that? That is the obstacle. You accept to come to the retreat, that means you want to practice. You want to train yourself, not only the mind, but also the daily convenient living. For example, we may have 3 meals a day at home, or 4 meals a day. But when you come to retreat, maybe only 3, or only 2, or sometimes only 1. At home, you need to take shower every day, but when you come to the retreat, maybe only once every second day. We share. You have your own room at home, but when you come to the retreat, you must share room with others. What is that? Why we need to come like that? Because we need to train ourselves, transform the habits of wanting in us. We always want everything so convenient. I have a brother, a Dhamma brother. When we come to the class together, he always have two chapstick, 2 sides, 2 fans, everything 2. I said, why you need 2 on 2 sides? He said, oh well, if my mind say, if I want it's convenient this direction, I will pick it up. I don't have to turn this way to take the everything he need when he sit down to study, and he set everything on the table, on the desk. And he want, you know, he turn this way, and he does not need to turn this way to take something he want. Even, you know, only this side and this side. So what is the purpose of the practicing? To train and to transform the habit. At home, we sit on the couch, on the sofa to watch TV. When you come to the center, you must sit on the floor with mat, with cushion. You may listen to Dhamma talk, but at home you may lie on bed and enjoy the talk, you know, with your blanket and etc. Especially this kind of weather. Very nice to stay home and watch TV or listen to music. But you did not let that kind of habit happen. You do something opposite. You wake up, you come to the practice, you sit on the floor, you do not let the body, you know, so convenient as what they expected. That doesn't mean we mistreat our body, but sometimes in life we need to do some training. We need to taming our desire, our passion, in order to overcome all the obstacles. Otherwise, it becomes the major. It's not a big deal. But, you know, it makes us not happy in life. One day I make a bowl of noodle for one of the young boy. He refused to take that noodle. Even though the soup, everything is tasty, but because I miss some spicy on the top, like onion or, you know, cilantro. He said, no, I won't take it because this bowl does not have cilantro. I said, cilantro is not a major thing for your bowl of soup. You don't eat cilantro in order to get full. It's only, you know, to make your bowl look nicer and a little bit more smell, good smell. That's it. But how come you refuse? He totally refused the bowl. And what is that? That is the obstacle. Just because of small thing, we refuse to eat something to make us no more hungry. I don't benefit from that. We are the one. So therefore, that's why the Buddha gave us the word obstacles, hinder. Why we need to live simple? The society now is very convenient. Yes. When you have, you can have. But, you know, some condition you don't have, you have to learn how to accept and overcome your obstacles. Because you see, everything is fine. Everything is fine. You see, the afflictions can become the obstacle for our practice. The deeds done can become the obstacles. And also the retribution. Because soon everything is done, it's become the result. And now this kind of retribution will obstacle us. For example, I have some young people now, they come to complain their spouse, and they say, oh, if I know the marriage life is not that easy, I'd rather to become a monastic. I said, too bad, it's too late. The rice already cooked. Before you cook the rice, you can do something you want. But once the rice already cooked, you cannot reform. That's what Vietnamese and Chinese people use to give an example. If something already done, nothing can change. You have to accept. Many people, when they suffer, and they used to say that, if I know this will be happen, I will become a monk, I will become a nun. But when they are free, when they are available, I ask them to become a monastic, they say, no, I am available, but not for a monastic life. I am available, but for something else. But now they want to change. Do you remember the three obstacles? The affliction, the deeds done, the retribution. And the first of all, when you see something you don't like, when you hear something you don't like, you feel unhappy. You have a negative feelings in you. It bothers your mind all day, all year. That called afflictions. It prevents you to come to the practice or moving forward in the practice. And soon, something you don't like, you may talk, you may behave, you will cause your own karma. For example, if you see someone doing something you don't like, if you do not agree, you don't have to support. But you do not say something against that, because we don't know is that kind of thing that that person have done, it's good or bad. Why we need to judge? When we judge something, we cause our own karma. For example, if you see one of the sister asking for donation to help somewhere, you don't support, fine. But do not go around and say, don't support her. She steal money from what you donate or whatever. Or do you think she will do something like, maybe she is lying or something. We don't know whether that lady, that person, right or wrong. But when we judge on people, when we gossiping on something, we already cause the karma, the bad karma, for our speech and for our behavior. And once that karma become the retribution, the result, we have to accept. And that also can become the obstacle. For example, lot of young people in this society, when we already see the path they go is wrong, we try to teach them, we try to, you know, clear out, they don't accept. And the more we prevent them, the more they get angry with us. So finally, we have to let go. So soon they step in, things already done. They already join in something. They already done something. But they cannot go back. And the more they go, the more they get deeper in the mud of suffering. And it's big. You know, even when they step out or they try to jump out, their body already get dirty. So the Buddha gave this example to Rahula. And one day, Rahula is the youngest student of the Buddha. He also the son of the Buddha. He joined the Sangha when he was 7. He always lied. He took something And the senior monk asked him, he said no. He did something wrong, he never accept that his mistake. The Buddha know a lot of, you know, negative things about him. The Buddha never teach him because the Buddha know he may rely on the Buddha because the Buddha is his father. So the Buddha asked Venerable Sariputta to teach Rahula. And many, many times, Rahula always lied to the senior monks. And one day, the Buddha asked Rahula to bring him a clean pot, a ceramic, clean ceramic pot. The Buddha said, "Is this the brand new one?" He said, "Yes." "Can this container contain water?" Rahula said, "Buddha, this is the brand new pot. You can contain anything you want." The Buddha asked him to pour into the pot some water. "Can you drink this water?" "Yes, Buddha, you can drink because clean water." The Buddha put his feet in and washed his feet in the bowl. Ask Rahula, "Can we drink or can we use this water to cooking or to do something?" He said, "No, Buddha, this is dirty water." The Buddha asked Rahula to empty the water. "Rahula, can I still use this bowl to contain some food or doing some cleaning?" "No, Buddha, once this already washed the feet, it's dirty. Now, from now on, it's only do something dirty, cannot doing something like drinking or cooking." The Buddha used his foot, kicked the bowl rolled and hit the pole and break. The Buddha said, "Rahula, each of us, we are like the bowl. Once you did not do something yet, you are available and have enough capacity to do anything for this life. Like you are a young person. You can do a lot of things for life, for others. But once you have done something wrong, cannot use anymore. Especially a person who never saying something truth, always lie to others. Nobody trusts that person anymore. So you must learn the lecture. When you appear clean, you can do anything. For example, if you keep this body well, if you use your youth right, your energy right, you can do a lot of things for your family, for your loved one, for the society. I have talked to young people, and because, you know, their lover cheating them, they have killed them. Now they need to go to jail. And I said, "That's not worth." And you can see, you can read the news lately now in Montreal. And you can see because we did not use our life right. That's why if I see the young people, when they still go to school and they do something right, I'm very happy. And I'm willing to do anything to support them. Like on Sunday, every Sunday, we have about 50 to 60 kids. They come to practice, meditation, chanting, and learn Vietnamese and Buddhism. Even though I'm very busy, but once every 2 or 3 weeks, I spend time with them. I try to do my best to do something for the for a younger generation. So there is not too late. That lady called me, she is now 70 years old. She haven't think about the practice, but one day she go somewhere with her friend, and her friend turned on the Dharma talk in the while they are driving, and she listened to that. It's opened a lot of her nerves. That stay strongly and firmly in her mind. She called me and she said, "Thai, many things that the monks mention in the talks, I know. I'm 70 years old. I should know everything, but it doesn't click on me. It never make me think about that. Even I know them. But now, the words of the monks open a lot and make sense to me now. Is that late to practice now?" I say, "No." Even to her, 70 years old, and start to practice is late. But there's nothing late. Soon we recognize, we turn around, there is the Shah. I have learned this. The ocean of learning, the learning is like an ocean. But if you diligently in the learning, you can meet the Shah. The sky, the space is so wide. But your good intent is the ladder for you to climb up. Do you see what I mean? They say that the learning is deep and wide like an ocean. You swim in there. But you work hard, you will meet the shore. Up on the sky, look like we cannot go there. But your intent, your good intent, is like a ladder to help you to climb up. Never stop learning. Never waste the time. I see a lot of young people now, they spend a lot of time with electric game. I don't mean that they cannot play. But I hope that they can manage their time. They can moderate their learning, their playing, their everything in moderation. And that would be great. So when they know how to manage, when they are young, when they grow up, they can have, you know, the sample, they are strong and stable to manage their life, to taming their desire, and also to help a lot of people. So today, my sharing is about the three obstacles, the affliction, the deeds done, the retribution. If we don't like something, we talk, we behave, we react, it's become things done. And after everything done, we have to accept the retribution, the result. Tomorrow we have a retreat, a mindfulness day. We will start meditation in the morning at 9 o'clock. And we will end the day around 4 or 4:30. So may, if you cannot come for the whole day, you can join anytime you wish. Like we have total relaxation, we have sitting meditation, we have walking meditation, we have Dhamma discussion and Dhamma talk. Make your time to come to to practice and support the Sangha. Thank you for your listening.